Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So it is great to be with you guys this evening. And I spoke about resting in the storm and we had a storm outside. Amen. So it is in the natural, so it will be in the spirit, but in the good way. Amen. Amen. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. And so tonight I'm going to be sharing with you about how it is to rest in the storm. It's very easy for us when things are going well and things are easy and we're walking with God and we're having a great time and everything's just going sort of really nice and wonderful, and it's easy for us to rest and it's easy for us to abide in His presence when it's going like that. But when things become a little rocky or when things become a little challenging, sometimes it can be very difficult for us to find rest in those situations. I don't know what's going on necessarily in your life or if you're watching online in your life, but perhaps you've been going through a storm of some sorts and you've been struggling during that time. And this evening I want to share with you how we deal with those storms when they come. And I want to show you how powerful the Word of God is and how powerful it is when you use that Word and how it will take you out of any situation. And it's quite amazing because it really does actually tie into what I've been sharing with you about prayer over the last few weeks. So let's get straight to it. Let's go to Acts 12, verse number 1. Are you guys okay in Vero Beach at Oceans Unite Christian Center this evening? Acts 12, verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. The guards before the doors were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Now, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it shows a picture of someone being in a situation like Peter, for example, who was in this situation. He's in prison. We see that James was actually killed, executed, and he's in prison. And the suggestion is that he's also about to be killed. So I don't know about you, but that's a little bit of a storm right there. So we see Peter in this situation where it ain't looking too good. More than likely, when morning comes, you're about to have your head chopped off or you're about to be executed in some way. And it isn't going very well. And the Bible says that Peter was asleep. This word sleeping in the Greek is powerful. It's the word koiomaio, which really means to be so asleep that it's almost as though you are dead. So everything's going crazy. The Christians are being persecuted. It's like chaos. I can't even imagine what it must have been like to live like this at that time, where no matter what you do, and we know there are Christians that experience this now, but we don't experience this. We complain about Cousin Joe saying something ugly about us and we're being persecuted. Lord, help me out the storm. Cousin Joe said that I'm not nice. These guys were heavily persecuted, going through severe storms. But Peter was able, during the storm, during this persecution and what he was going through, he was able to sleep peacefully. Let's go to the next story. Acts 16, verse 16 to 26. And some these are some of my favorite stories, but I want to make a point this evening. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." It's a good word, but it's not a word from God. And this she did for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. So Paul recognized that she was operating with the spirit of divination, turns around, and I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. So Paul recognizes that this woman is operating with a spirit of divination, a fortune-telling spirit, even though she's saying something that sounds right. Be careful of what always sounds right. Is it from God or isn't it? Now, that's not my sermon tonight, but we see this very powerful thing play out. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now it's at this point, I'd say they're going through a storm. So they've already been beaten. Now they're in prison, and watch what they do. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. You see, when you're able to face the storm, when everything's going wrong, but you stick to God and you stick close to Him and you begin to rejoice and you begin to sing praises, all of a sudden something changes in the atmosphere, and there's a suddenly. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Two examples of the apostles. Now, why did I specifically choose them this evening to bring my point across? Because I want to go back to a time when some of these apostles were actually in a different situation, and they didn't yet understand who the Christ was in their life and how powerful He really is. You see, the fact of the matter is it's not a matter of if you're going to go through a storm. It's a matter of when will you go through a storm. The question isn't if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. And the result and the outcome of that storm, how are you going to handle it? Because there's the right way and there's the wrong way. And I want to show you this evening how powerful it is if we respond the correct way. Because I can tell you right now that there have been so many times that I've gone through a storm and I've managed to get through the storm, but I've suffered through the storm. The reality is that you don't have to suffer through the storm. You can rest in the storm. And that's what I want to share with you this evening. Are you guys okay? It's very quiet in Vero Beach in the stormy weather. So let's go to Mark 4, verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus now, Let us cross over to the other side. Listen, when Jesus says to you that I'm going to take you to the other side, I can tell you right now, you'll get to the other side. Okay, you know, I'm going to get to the other side. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you will get to the other side. He will put everything in you that you need to get to the finish line. You will run your race. You will make it to the end. Everything necessary you will have inside you to get to the end and finish the race. Regardless of the mistakes you've made, regardless of how many times you've fallen, regardless of what's going on right now in your life, you might feel like it's completely hopeless. You might be sick. You might be dealing with something. I don't know what your situation is, but I can tell you right now, if you start the race with Him, He will get you to the end. He will get you to the finish. He will get you to the end of this race, because everything you need is with you. We all have a promise. We all have a destiny. The end line, as far as we're aware in the natural, is to get to heaven. We won't talk about after heaven today. Maybe next time. Now let's continue. Verse 36. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. And other little boats were also with Him. So you can imagine now, Jesus is with the disciples and they're going to get in the boat and they're going to go to the other side of the lake or the ocean, whatever it was, the ocean. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Listen, when you're walking with God, when you're walking with Christ, when you're walking this good walk, this fight of faith, you are going to face the storms so much so at times that it's going to feel like you're actually sinking. You're going to feel like your boat or whatever it is that you're busy doing, your walk with Him has gotten to the point of absolute desperation where it feels like you're just not going to make it to the end. Can you imagine what it must have been like for these disciples? They're in the boat. Jesus is in the boat with them. And all of a sudden, this huge storm comes up and they feel like everything's about to sink. Everything's about to come to an end. The boat's busy filling with water. Listen, your marriage might be sinking right now. It might feel like your family life is sinking. It might feel like your children, there's something going on there and that's busy sinking. Maybe it's your business that's busy sinking. Maybe it's your personal life. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe you've gotten to the point where sin has overtaken you and you feel like you're sinking. What do we do? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this evening. Sometimes it just feels like everything is going crazy around you. And the furthest thing that you feel in that storm is peace. You know, isn't that right, guys? You just feel like it's just going chaotic around you. And all of a sudden, this person rises up against you. And all of a sudden, that person rises up against you. And then all of a sudden, you receive a bill in the mail that you never expected to get. And then all of a sudden, you wake up the next morning and your wife wants to tear your head off. And then you get a report from the teacher that says your child misbehaved at school. And you're thinking to yourself, my God, can it get any worse? And then the dog starts vomiting all over the house. And then you got to take the dog to the vet. And then the vet bill's so high. And all of a sudden, everything around you just begins to crash. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what it is. But every now and then, on this journey with God, it begins to feel like, what the heck is going on, Lord? Now watch this. It says, but He, in verse 38, it says, but He was in the stern. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. I like that. And they woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times when it's going rough in our lives do we say to Him, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm suffering? Don't you care that I'm struggling? Don't you care that I'm going through this? Have you ever been in that place where all of a sudden it just feels like the attack is so much and you can't handle it, and you cry out to him and you say, Lord, don't you care about what's busy taking place in my life? Have you ever cried out in the storm or when everything's going crazy and you say, Lord, where are you? I'm so glad there's about four people here that have experienced that in their life. Now watch this. Watch this. Let's go to Matthew 28. We'll come back to the story in just a minute. Matthew 28, verse number 18. And this is what we need to understand this evening, is that when it's going rough, when it's going bad, when everything is coming against you, and everybody experiences the pressures that the enemy desires to bring against you in all kinds of different ways. Some of the young people have to deal with severe depression. Some of the old people have to deal with depression. It comes in different waves and in different times in our lives. And I want to speak specifically to those maybe here or watching online that have had that feeling, that desire where they feel like they just don't even want to live anymore, because all of a sudden it feels like they want to end their life. They can't take it anymore. Where are you, God? Now watch. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now watch. And lo, I am with you always. In the storm, where are you, Lord? What did I teach you this morning? That if you pray His will and His word, His word says that, lo, I am with you always. Listen, He said that I will not leave you alone. I will send you another helper. The word another in the Greek is so powerful. It says, I'll send you one just like me. I'll send you one that's just the same as me. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit. He's just like me, says the Lord. And He's with you. And He's leading you. And He's guiding you. And you can't cry out and say, Lord, where are you? Because there's going to be a shout on the inside of you that says, lo, I am with you. I am with you. I'm with you in the battle. I'm with you in this depression. I'm with you in this feeling of suicide. I'm with you. But what are you going to do? Because we cry out to Him, where are you, God? Because it's like, where is our faith? In the storm, it's easy to have faith when everything's going great. I call it the honeymoon phase. I've had about 14 of them. My walk with God. Listen, I've had more than one honeymoon with God. It's great. Every time it happens, I'm like, Lord, let's go on another one of those. Hallelujah. About 4 days of bliss. Most people have months and years. I have about a couple of days. And then the next storm rolls in. I've shared with you before. I remember getting a prophecy in Sebring where Pastor Mark prophesied over me this great word about what I'm going to be stepping into and all this stuff. And right at the end, he said, and don't expect a rose garden. And I thought to myself, did you really need to add that in? Did you really need to add that part in? And every time a challenge comes, every time the enemy rises up against me, every time I think it's really getting a little tough, I remember those words, looking into his eyes when he said to me, and I'm not promising you a rose garden. Listen, your walk with him is not going to be a rose garden. If you study scripture, you are in a fight. There's no such thing as spiritual warfare. Brother, what Bible are you reading? Because it ain't the same one I'm reading. You're in a fight. But when we're in a fight, what do you do with your weaponry? What do you do with your armor? What do you do with your sword? Let me tell you something. We have won. Well, let's say this, he has won. But when the storm rages against me, I've got to do something. I have to pick up that sword and I have to go into battle, because there are too many casualties of war along the way, of believers who lose hope, who lose their way because they feel like God isn't with them anymore. But he is with you. Amen. Now watch. Let's go back to our story in Mark 4, verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now it's interesting. I want to just stop for a second. I want to go to John 12, verse 27. You see, there's something very powerful in what we see take place right here. When Jesus gets woken up in the middle of the storm, he gets up and he speaks to the storm. Now take a look at a time in the life of Jesus where he was a little bit perplexed. And look at what he does. In John 12, verse 27, this is what he says when he's about to go to Calvary. He says this, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." That's not what he's going to say. That's what he's saying. "I'm not going to say, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come." So he knew his purpose. He prayed according to the will and the purposes and plans of God for his life. He knew why he was here. He knew where he was going. And he could have said, "Lord, take this away from me." But he didn't. He said, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." Sometimes in the storm, it may not feel so great, but if you begin to cry out and you take the sword of the Spirit and you know where you are and who you are and who you are in Christ, you can begin to speak. You can begin to declare the very, very word of God that saved you, that set you free, that delivered you, that will be able to take you out of your storm. John 15, 7. I shared this with you this morning, but I want to read it again. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." We have to be in Christ. We have to have his words on our lips, in our hearts, so that when the storm comes, we know that we can overcome, because it's by the blood of the Lamb that we overcome. So every time the storm comes, every time the challenge comes, every time the situation comes that rises up against you, that causes you to want to go and hide, you know that you can stand and you can fight the good fight of faith. Let's go back to our story. Are you guys okay? Verse 39. "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful when things go wrong? Why are you so fearful when you're in the storm? Why are you so fearful when things happen in your business that you didn't expect? Why are we so fearful when everybody all of a sudden comes against us? Why do we get so fearful when the slightest thing rises up?' He says to them, 'Why are you so fearful? Lo, I am with you.'" He's with us in everything we go through. So why is it that when something happens, immediately the response is fear? So many times you'll be so afraid and you'll fear something that will not even happen. And you'll go through stress and your body will be perplexed and you'll struggle with this anxiety and fear that is not even going to take place, because of something that might happen. Why are you so fearful? The word fearful here is the word deilos, which means to be cowardly or timid. And he goes on, Jesus, and he says, how is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Once you have spoken everything he has said, and that he will get you to the other side, you need to understand that he is with you. Lo, I am with you always. If you begin to speak to the storm, if you begin to declare the plans, the purposes, listen, if God comes against your children, begin to speak the word against the enemy. Every promise that he's given you, begin to speak the word against the enemy. If God's given you a promise for your business, or if you're a tither, you can take the word and speak it against the enemy. You can use the word of God as your weapon. When the enemy comes in like a flood against you, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. But it's your words, it's your heart attitude. If you begin to stand in the storm, remember, that's why it says when you take up your full armor of God, that you must be able to stand. Come on, guys. Are you here this evening? How is it that you have no faith? Now watch, because immediately, once the storm settles, once the word has been spoken, immediately the atmosphere changes. And the word says this, it says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The word fear there is not the same as the previous word feared. The previous word fear was the word delios. But here it's the word phobeo, which means reverence or respect. It also means, it means that all of a sudden something changes. Listen, when you're in a storm and you go for the enemy and you don't submit to the circumstances and you are able to rest in that storm, if you're able to speak the word, stand back and rest, a different kind of fear comes upon you. A fear of the Lord, a reverence, an understanding, and knowing that the peace of God is with you and you can stay, you can make it, you can get through this. And all of a sudden, there's a great peace that hits you, a great peace that overcomes you. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I've had to walk through this more than one occasion, and it was something that somebody said to me. It was a pastor that said to me, he said, the storms come. He said, but when you learn to rest in the storm, that's when you know your ministry is going well. And it hit me right between the eyes. In your walk with God, it's the same thing. It's easy to rest, but can you rest in the storm? If you know who you are, and you know what God has said about you, and you know what His word declares, you will be able to rest in the storm. Can you say amen, guys? Amen. Peace. You see, that's what happens when you declare the word with power. Remember, He lives inside you. All authority and power has been given to Him. He's on the inside of you. When you speak, it's like He speaks. When you declare, it's like He declares. When you take authority, it's like He takes authority. You are an ambassador, a total representative of Him. If it does not match and line up with the word, then it cannot be so. If your sickness does not match and line up with the word, it cannot be so. It must submit to the word of God, and there must be a peace that comes upon you, and all of a sudden you recognize, you realize that this reality is not your reality, because He's going to get you to the other side. He's going to get you to the finish line. He's going to get you through it all. He's going to bring you through whatever you're going through now and every other storm that comes your way. You will be able to get to the other side. Amen. Amen. Remember something, guys. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. When you rest in Him, He will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. A peace that you don't understand I always say that the greatest weapon, one of the greatest weapons in our arsenal, in the full armor of God, is the shoes of peace. Because the shoes of peace are so powerful, because basically when you are in peace and the enemy is raging against you, you basically trample on him. You contradict everything he brings against you. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm experiencing. You don't know how I feel. You don't know what it's like to be me. You don't know how many people have rejected me. You don't know how my life is. You don't know how my wife treats me. You don't know how my husband treats me. You don't know what's going on in my business. Pastor, you don't know. Well, listen, are you going to submit to that? Or are you going to submit to the truth of his word? What do you choose? You can have peace in your storm when you begin to declare and decree everything God says. And then in that place, you stand back and watch. Every single time someone has come against me and attacked me, every single time I attack back, I don't do too well. But every time I stand back and I say, Father, you handle this, please. I don't want to get involved here. It gets sorted out. Listen, God doesn't go there and say, hey, this is my son, and beat them with a stick. But every time it gets sorted out, I don't have to fight my battles. The battles belong to him. He said he'd get me to the other side. And he said that he is with me. So no matter what I go through, I know that he's with me and he'll get me to the end. Can you guys say amen? Let's close our eyes for just a moment. Father, we thank you. Can you dim the lights for me just for a minute? We thank you so much this evening for your word that is true. Father, I pray that we will be a people that will always be open to what it is that you desire to do in any moment, in any service, at any time. I pray tonight, Father, against all the power of the enemy. And you have given authority unto us. And your word says that we have power over the power of the enemy. And so, Father, I take authority over every spirit of doubt, every spirit of fear. I take authority over you now. And I break your power right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will fill this place right now with your presence. That you will fill this place right now with your spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come. And that you will do a work in the hearts of everyone in this place right now. I don't know, Holy Spirit, where they are and what they're going through and what battle they're going through. But I know that you know. And I pray that tonight they will realize, like your word says, that you are with us. You are with us. Lo, you are with us. And Jesus said that you would not leave us. He would not leave us orphans. And so we know that we have the very spirit of Christ living inside of us. And I thank you that we have this. And I thank you that you know us personally and by name. And Father, I pray tonight that, Lord, as it was with the disciples, that suddenly after Jesus got up and rebuked that storm, that a different kind of fear came, a reverence, a peace came upon them, oh God, where they recognized that they were with the Son of God, that they were with someone who wasn't normal, because you are with us, Lord, and you are not a man that you should lie. You are not normal. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the God of all creation, and it doesn't matter how bad it seems right now. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is, how deep this trouble is, because you can take us right out of it. And Father, even while we go through it, we will stand in your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Right now, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are here. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Right now, just fill this place right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.